So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more. The
Score! Outstanding arm, a lefty who can sling it around the field. And I tell you what, when you look at Chris Sims, the tools are there.
He's had such poise and presence, command of the huddle. Sims fires to the end zone, touchdown! Joey Galloway on the 15th play of this drive.
I don't trust a quarterback having to make a playoff start who hasn't played in 3 weeks.
I think
that's what bothered
element.
me with Jordan Love a little bit, right? So that's where I leaned with the Bears. And I do think Ben Johnson ripping the offense and the way they played last week will actually end up helping them this week to be on their game and maybe take a few chances and jumpstart them early on in the football game.
Brahimi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Is your top button buttons? It better be if you're going to talk to Chris Sims. He joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Chris Sims, an NFL analyst for NBC Sports. He's the co-host of Pro Football Talk Live. That's with our friend Mike Florio. And he is the host of the Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast. You get the drift. He's at CSimsQB on Twitter. And he joins us now. Chris, thanks for coming on.
Of course, no problem. I mean, I feel bad for you guys. You got to deal with Mike Florio. It sounds like on a once-a-week basis, that's tough. So I figured, I'd show you that, the other side of his working partner is not so bad and not such a jerk like he is. So I figured I'd owe that to you.
Chris, I used to interview from time to time on NBC Sports Chicago. And yes, I appreciate the level-headedness. But yesterday was the perfect day to work with Mike because we went down a billion different rabbit holes after John Harbaugh got fired.
Right. I'm sure. And he's the master of going, that's the one thing about Florio. Right, he's not into always breaking news. He knows a lot of people behind the scenes in the NFL. Right, he's very good at connecting dots. What I always call his pasta and meatballs, his stomach, his guts, his intuition are top notch that way. And this is the time of the year usually where he thrives, calling his shots about things he's heard, things he think might happen, and all that. So I'm sure you guys had some good combos yesterday.
It's been a long time since the Bears have thrived in this situation because they don't usually get to this situation, but they have a chance to get their first playoff win in 15 years, Chris. When you look at this matchup, Bears-Packers, I'm having trouble finding a way where the Bears, based on the previous two matchups, would win this game. Can you tell me if you think the Bears are going to win this game?
I do think they can win this football game. I mean, I think this is a coin flip type of football game.
Okay.
I think that's the first thing I would say. Right? I wouldn't want to bet money. I'm not doing that on this game because it could go either way. I think it's a field goal game either way. But at the same time, yeah, are there ways they can win this football game? But I understand like what you're saying. There's no doubt in the first two matchups, the Packers played better football than the Bears. Right? The Bears miraculously pulled that Week 16 matchup out with two late fourth quarter drives, and of course the overtime drive was really the full extent of their offensive performance that day. Everything else was a struggle, right? Jeff Hafley has had his way a little bit with Ben Johnson, which is very rare, right? And I know it's you guys are looking for your first playoff win, and they're coming because I don't think the Bears are going anywhere for a long, long time with this guy at head coach and this guy at quarterback. I'll say that. But at the same time, I think the biggest thing I look at here, and I think in the second matchup, I do think that Malik Willis being thrown into the fold really made things hard on Chicago because he brings a different element that I'm sure they weren't really prepared for in that game. Malik Willis has a chance to be a superstar, and his ability to run and scramble in that second game, I think, caught the Bears off guard. Now it's going to be more the traditional drop back pass, Jordan Love in the pocket, right? So the first thing I look at is like the clip you just played there. First, the Packers are 0 for their last four. The Packers have not been the same since Micah Parsons got injured. I mean, Micah Parsons is a big deal He's so big that when he got hurt, we all went, oh, I don't know if the Packers can go to the Super Bowl anymore. That's how awesome he is. And then you couple that with Jordan Love not having played in 3 weeks and really only practicing limited times. Yeah, it's hard for me to get behind that and go, wait, the team that's 0-4 and a quarterback that hasn't played, he's just going to hit the ground running on Saturday night and throw for 300 yards and beat the Bears. So that's why I go with the Bears. But the Bears, there's no doubt, one thing in particular shows to me that has to be better if they want to win this game is the drop back pass game. That's it, plain and simple, right? The first game, they ran the ball, they ran bootlegs, they did a little of that. They left yards and plays there to be had in the drop back pass game. The second time around, the drop back pass game didn't deliver until late in the game, and the Packers got a little conservative trying to protect their lead. This is a game where, yes, I do believe Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are going to have to win through the pass game. You're not going to be able to just run the ball at will on Green Bay, and that's kind of how I look at it. I picked them to win 23-20, but like I said, I think it's going to be a nail biter.
Chris, I'm glad you brought that up because, especially here in Chicago, run the ball, right? Like, that's the mantra, that's the solution, that's the ethos. And we all noticed that there was more of a deliberate pocket-based game for the Bears, not only in that second game against the Packers, but even in contrast in the first game to what we had seen prior to the rest of the season. You're hitting on something that I think Ben Johnson has communicated via his game plan. What right. makes you think that the drop back pass game has to be so quintessential where you think that the run game is going to be so stifled? Like, what's the delta there in it working and it not working?
Right. I think the big thing is that I first off, let's take it from the Packers' perspective. They're going to look at it and think some of the same things you just said, some of the things I've said. They're going to go, man, if they get the run game going, everything starts going in Chicago. So I think that's going to be their biggest thing. Like, let's stop the run game, because then that slows down some of the bootlegs and the play action pass game. And now if there's anything that's going to happen, I got to see Caleb Williams can beat us in the drop back pass game. And we know he can do that, but it's not been a consistent ride there in that department, right? I mean, if he plays like he did in the 49er football game, I go, don't you worry then, Chicago, the Bears will win. But if it's like some other games this year where we've seen and gone, wait, why didn't he throw that? Or damn, you're too good and talented to miss that throw right there. And it's been a little in between. And again, this is part of the rewiring of the new robot of Caleb Williams. He's never been a part of anything like this. Ben Johnson, offensive genius, been throwing more things on his plate than he's ever had to deal with in the history of his life in football. And this is a guy, too, throughout his whole career, high school, college, whatever, has been so talented that he could just go out there and make it happen. He doesn't have to follow an offense in every rule. It's special that way. It's Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes that way. But to go deep in the playoffs and be a consistent powerhouse in the NFL, you got to play in the pocket. You got to make those throws in what I always call be surgical. And that's been few and far between and a little iffy at times with the Bears and Caleb Williams in this growing process. I think he can do it. But with Ben yelling at them this weekend and all that, yeah, I expect them to deliver in the moment. I do.
We're talking to NBC Sports NFL analyst Chris Sims. And Chris, as a former quarterback yourself, how much have you seen the Bears learning, and especially Caleb Williams learning this new offense and experimenting and trying to build on that while still trying to win games during the season? Because I feel like that's what we're seeing as well in more of this pocket-based idea.
Yeah, well, they're still on the training wheels part of the offense here for Ben Johnson. And I'm a psycho. I watch film all the time. I mean, I've been singing Ben Johnson's praise for 3 years. He's a genius. He's a genius. But to think in year one that he can come in and throw the whole playbook of what he just had with Detroit and Jared Goff and a veteran quarterback and veteran team and just go, hey, everything we were doing last year, here, Caleb Williams, you can do it. No, you would mess up your quarterback that way. So they're taking it step by step. And they're continuing to grow his game. And I think as we're watching here, we're watching Caleb Williams take 5 steps on a drop, hitch and throw the ball in rhythm instead of what we might have saw last year or at some points this year. He takes 5 steps and he just sits there flat-footed. And then you go, what's he going to do? It looks like he's just ready to play backyard football. I don't think he's really trying to read the play out or do what Ben totally told him to do. So that's a work in progress. We've seen all that going in the right direction, but it's not perfect yet. I do think it will be perfect. Caleb Williams has superstar talent. Superstar. It's he could be one of the greats, one of the greatest quarterbacks in this game for sure. But yeah, this is a game here where they got to think. I think they're going to have to get away from that mold of just running the ball, bootleg passes, and they're going to have to rely on him in that drop back pass game.
Chris, I'm on the record saying they're only going to go as far as Caleb Williams takes them because the defense is the worst defense that's still playing football in the National Football League. They're by far the worst defense in this playoffs. I understand what you're saying about Jordan Love. Is he going to just hit the ground running? But he doesn't turn the ball over. And also, the Bears haven't been able to get to him. Why will he not be afforded statue status in the pocket? Do you see something I'm not seeing as far as them being able to affect him on defense?
No, well, I mean, listen, that's going to be the balance they got. And this is where, you know, the Bears are playing with house money. The year's been a success. Watch out for the Bears in years to come. This offseason, when you guys got some money and can spend, you know, another, you know, pretty penny on maybe another pass rusher and another cover corner and all that, you guys will be dangerous with Dennis Allen. But yes, you're not a great defense. There's no doubt about that. And you're going to have to pick your point. My big thing with them is, yeah, you want to take some tactical chances, I think, blitzing Jordan Love, but don't make it a habit. Because the one thing to me with the Green Bay Packers, they love when you blitz and play man to man. And it go back to game number one when he had a few deep touchdown passes, or even if you remember game number one in Green Bay, he threw the slant pass to Christian Watson who ran down the field for a touchdown. Those were all against aggressive Bears defenses where I go, that's what Jordan Love wants. If you look at the Packers, they want to run the ball, throw some screens, and throw bombs down the field. That's how they operate. When they've struggled, teams have taken away those big plays. And then the one thing I'll say about Jordan Love where I think he can get better in his game is he's not the most surgical intermediate passer in all of football. Those plays between 5 and 10 yards, those type of throws, they're not usually real consistent in that department and dicing up defenses that way. So that's where I go, the Bears have to have a blend there. But to your point, that's why anybody that's listened to my stuff, I love the Bears. I love Ben Johnson. I love Caleb Williams. Everybody knows that. I haven't been a total believer in the Bears or the 49ers to make a deep playoff run because of what you said. The defenses are just below average, and it's hard to go through the playoffs with a below average defense and think you're going to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it's a concerning factor for us as well. And Chris, since you study the tape so much, you know, the two games, we joked about how similar not only the two games were against these two teams, but how similar the discussions are for both fan bases as to the criticisms of certain players or the criticisms of certain aspects of the team. What do you think could be different that we haven't seen out of these two? Or do you think it's going to be more of the same on Saturday?
No, I think it's going to be, you know, very, very close to kind of similar to what we've seen. But I guess if I'm sitting here looking at my crystal ball, I think we're going to see a different drop back pass game. I think this is a game finally where Ben Johnson's like, listen, you know, hey, we've had 18 weeks here. It's Green Bay. They got some talent on their football team. I'm going to open the vault a little bit in the drop back passing game. Caleb, we're going to run a few plays that maybe I haven't asked you to run this year. We might have a few checks at the line of scrimmage where I go, I haven't asked you to do all this mental gymnastics at the line of scrimmage, but this week it's win or go home. So we got to do it or we're going and planning a vacation next week. And that's where I kind of look at it being different. And then the other things that I talk about with Green Bay, it's just where's their mental state as a football team right now? I mean, not many teams have had real successful playoff runs going, we lost 4 in a row and our quarterback hasn't played in 3 weeks. That's usually not a recipe for success, and that's where I got to kind of see it to believe it to think Green Bay can win the game that way.
Chris Sims, the NBC Sports NFL analyst. He's the co-host of PFT Live alongside Mike Florio and also the host of the Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast, joining us here on Raheem Harris and Grody. Mark Grody, by the way, joins us at 12:25 from House Hall with the latest there. Okay, Chris. So what do you see as the ceiling for this Bears team? You mentioned, you know, don't have a good defense, you're not going far, but what do you see the ceiling? Because, you know, they win this game, there's a chance they can, you know, play the Eagles next week, but they've got Soldier Field in their back pocket.
Yeah, that's what's amazing too. Again, it's a matchup league. It's a matchup league. Now, I certainly think the Eagles are a more talented team than the Bears. The Eagles are one of the most talented teams I've ever seen. But as I've discussed a million times and I always say, I mean, the Eagles' offense is horrible. The quarterback play is horrible. So that's why you guys match up. We just talked about your defense not being all that well. Well, the Eagles run like five plays on offense, and they have a quarterback that just won't throw to the open guy. He won't do it. And, in fact, sometimes he doesn't even look at him. He just looks at the rush and tries to play backyard football. And so they can't run the ball like they did last year. So now everybody's seeing that there's problems there. So that's where you go, you give the Bears a fighting chance there. But you also worry about, you know, Eagles football team that is super talented. That defense is damn good. Now they got to see a few of Ben Johnson's tricks in person once. They're going to make some adjustments. And, you know, there's a part of me, too, with the Eagles have gone, you know, they could be bored with the regular season. They played in so many big football games and know how good they are that they might be able to one of those teams that rarely can, like, ramp it up once it starts to get real here. But that's a matchup that favors the Chicago Bears. But at the same time, if you had to play, let's say, the Los Angeles Rams or somebody like that, I'd go, uh-oh, I don't know if I like that a whole lot. I mean, Matthew Stafford and that offense versus that defense, whoa, that the pressure will be on Caleb Johnson and Ben Johnson to win a shootout. And so, and the Rams defense is pretty good. So it depends on the matchup and where it goes here. But in the NFC, I do think that the Seahawks, Rams, and the Eagles are the three best teams in the NFC playoff conversation.
Oh, that's big, especially when the Eagles are playing the 49ers for their playoff matchup. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. Tell Mike Florio we said hello.
Thanks, Chris.
I will. All right, guys, be good. Have fun this weekend.
You too. That's Chris Sims, the NFC or the NBC NFL analyst, the co-host of Pro Football Talk Live alongside our buddy Mike Florio, and he hosts the Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast. He is a very good follow on Twitter as well. He is at CSimsQB. And for our Twitch mob who noticed that the phone call didn't sound like a phone call, it's because it wasn't. It was on Zoom. We tried to get him video-wise because he had a cool setup, but unfortunately the technical difficulties wouldn't let us.
Let's just hope there's no technical difficulties Saturday night. Let's hope everything is running smooth here in Chicago for those Bears.
If you're like this today, what are you going to be like tomorrow?
Man, you don't want to be around me Saturday. Yeah, I'm just telling you right now. That's why I'm watching the game at home by my lonesome.
You're going to take a sports walk? You know, like just move around to exert energy about sports?
I think I'm going to channel my inner Dustin Rhodes. Like I think that's what's... I'm not punching anything.
Punch in the arm?
I'm not going to punch anything.
Brody? No, he'll be at the game.
Yeah, he'll be at the game. Unfortunately, he'll be out of my reach. He will.
Just put your couch in the
I
arm.
I can't wait to talk to Grody about how relieved he is that Bo Melton's not playing because he's been placed on IR. That's my big thing tomorrow when Grody comes back.
And Grody will then say that it's probably somebody else who will, random. Like
Dontavian Wicks?
It's of that vein.
Okay.
At least are you Aaron threatening Jones, us? At least Aaron Jones isn't there anymore.
That's fair. He gets real PTSD. He's seen it up close and personal from the sidelines.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame him for that either. Either. Coming up next here on Raheem Harrison Grody, we spend a lot of time talking about life according to the Packers. But what about life according to the Bears? Let's have some main character energy here. Colston Loveland let everybody know what the direction was, so we will relay it to you next.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Raheem Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Just like I told those guys after the game, you know, we're mentally prepared to play for 5 more weeks. And so that's our intent. How do you do that? You go out and you win the first one.
This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we just finished up a really good conversation with Chris Sims, the NFL analyst for NBC Sports If you missed it, go back on our Odyssey app. You can listen on the Rewind feature. And in the meantime, we spent a lot of our first hour talking about the Green Bay Packers side of things. Heard from Jeff Hafley, heard from Keyshawn Nixon, and heard from other players as they talked about their strategy, why they want to face the Bears, etc. Well, what about the Bears side of things? It's not necessarily as focused on the single game of facing the Packers. It's a little more wide-ranging, like we just heard Ben Johnson say.
He wants to make sure people understand the regular season is over. It's cute that you were the NFC North champions. It's great that you have accomplished the 2 seed. But all that is for naught if you don't take advantage of this situation. You are highly seeded in a tournament. It is a very simple tournament. You win 4 games, you get to hoist a trophy, and the city of Chicago loves you forever.
Forever. Colston Loveland was the one who put everybody on notice yesterday because I know we've talked about the sense of urgency coming out of guys like Christian Watson, Josh Jacobs, etc. But we haven't really heard it as much when it comes to hearing from the Bears. It's been, I think, a little more tactical, a little more game-related. Caleb Williams is as cool as a cucumber. He's not going to be that guy. Listen to what Colston Loveland had to say about what the message you just heard was from Ben Johnson.
He's like, you know, it's another season, so you guys better have more energy, better energy than we had last season. And like you said, he said, if you're not after the game, he said, if you're not prepared to play the next 5 weeks, if you're thinking about anything else, thinking about booking a flight, vacations or anything, don't come in. So he made it very clear about what's at stake and what this team is looking for.
Who's the one booking the flight? Who decided it was Cancun on 3 already?
I think it was a message to spur all of that before the thought even gets into your head. But I understand why the message was sent. I don't necessarily think it was necessary because I think these players are genuinely excited and there's not, oh, here we go again. There's not a feeling of we'll do this year just like we did it last year and we'll do it next year. No. This is different. And that was the message Ben Johnson is trying to get across. This is different and you have to act accordingly going forward.
Well, and that's how I feel.
Right.
Like, I know that the football schedule goes, you know, you usually time things out to the traditional, like, media schedule. You say it's, like, August 15th to January 15th. That's usually kind of how we slice it up. You get your fair share of the training camp that way. You get your fair share of preseason. And January 15th allows for playoff games. We have not had those in the last several years.
Just look at how we, and when I say we, I mean I, planned my whole, I was like, all right, I'll go on a vacation probably either this week or next week. That was back before the season started.
You were Cancun on 3.
I was definitely Cancun on 3.
And to be fair, history had echoed your sentiment.
A first-year head coach in this loaded division? Ben Johnson.
In this economy?
7 wins for Ben Johnson. And okay, we're on the right. 7 wins and improved Caleb Williams' play. That's all I was asking for, really. And I did say I had more faith in the offense than the defense. Man, has that come? I didn't think it would be this bad. I'm going to be very clear.
You've been on this from training camp.
Yes, but I didn't think the defense would be this bad. And they're hurt, and that's fine, but players get hurt. That's what the NFL is, not a contact sport. It's a collision sport. I will say this. We're all rewiring and replanning how the month of January is going now because the Bears have made the playoffs. And it's not just that they made the playoffs. They've made the playoffs unlike what you like to refer to the last time they did or did not make the playoffs, 2020.
The gas leak year.
There's nothing leaking to the point where you think they can't win the game.
Bingo.
They can win this game.
Now, Colston Loveland is a rookie. And so you have to instill a little bit of a different mindset in your rookie players. I don't necessarily know that he's going to stray. That's not how I feel about him. I just think kind of like rookie programming with the Packers, and that's George McCaskey's job. There's also the same kind of mindset when it comes to the playoffs. Like, I can say it's house money. Chris Sims can say you're playing with house money. They can't. That's the difference. Cole Kmet is a good person to kind of bounce this off of, the contrast as well. Fellow tight end, he was a part of that playoff game. Whatever you want to call that.
Just call it a moment in time.
The Nickelodeon game. Ray, what do you call it? You call it a playoff game? Does that count to you?
I mean, yeah, it does to me.
You don't sound very confident.
He did not sound
confident.
You're
like, yeah.
No, I mean, it
does. You got to call it something. Might as well be what it was.
Tyler, do you count that as a playoff game?
Well, I barely call the bubble championship in the NBA a for sure championship, so I don't know if I could call this an actual playoff game, too.
Everybody forgets how long the bubble actually went.
Bubble went forever. Too I had long. Friends in the bubble.
Wasn't it 6 months?
No. I think it was 3 months, wasn't it?
I don't know. It was. I act like mentally the bubble was like a couple weeks.
It was... Because wasn't it like 5 more games or 10 more? It was
to the internet.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it might have been 4 months total, because the playoff series were in the same tradition and vein. But remember,
3 months.
Three months.
So I was way off.
Yeah, you said 6 months.
But I also didn't think it was. I initially I was like, oh yeah, the bubble's like a month. No,
I just remember
a quarter of the year.
The Kings. I was in Sacramento at the time. The Kings were one of those play-in level teams before the play-in was a real thing. This was like their experiment with it, and we're like, oh, maybe we'll go cover it because this is the only thing going on. And it was like $20,000 to go stay in Epcot. It was bad. It was a very bad situation for the media.
240 says the D line isn't hurt. Dio Odengbo would disagree with you. He's not coming back for this game. I don't want to say last game, but, you know, they brought everybody back for this game. So, yeah, the D-line is actually hurt. And a guy that they paid handsomely, they wanted him to be a part of it. So let's listen to Cole Kmet and how, first of all, what does he call that game? And secondly, how does he look back at that versus what is in front of him?
Well, I remember it being weird. You know, as a rookie, you just kind of, you don't really know this from that. And, you know, you're 8-8, and there felt like a lot of negative sentiment around the team at the time, even though we were going to the playoffs. And it almost felt like, oh, man, you know, you go at 8-8, and it feels like this. Like, surely getting in is not an issue. And sure enough, you know, 5 years later, you're going back for the second time. So I think I just look back on it, and you realize, first of all, you never take a playoff for granted. And, you know, maybe I did a little bit at the time, and just based on the atmosphere of that. But, you know, also that being said, I do feel like this team is way different than that team. And I think that, you know, that team, we had a lot of things going on throughout the year, a lot of changes at some key positions, where this year it feels like we're more cemented in who we are and our identity as a team. And I feel like those are things that can carry over, you know, here in January.
That team was 5-7 at one point. And that's why it never felt like we're about to do something. I mean, I guess they won 3 of their last 4 games, though, right?
No. So I remember the ongoing question being, and you remember this, Ray, are the Bears good?
Oh, yeah.
And then we asked it the next year, and then it all fell apart.
It sure did. But, you know, to the key question before I played that Cole Kmet audio, you heard Cole Kmet call it a playoff game. You did.
He also said it was weird.
He did. And
it was
weird.
And they were 8-8.
He said the vibes were bad, babe.
See?
They didn't get much better than
that. I don't know that we're in Worry Town, you know, with Spiegel and Holmes, but I don't know that we're not in it. I think we're in the county. We're in the unincorporated area.
I'll tell you what, I feel better about the cast this time around than I do that time around.
And part of the reason why I feel good about this year is because
Ray had a cast on his arm.
Oh, I sure did. Yeah, that sucked.
You have a great
bionic arm.
Mix of players here who have not done this before, who it's been too long since they have done this, and other veterans who've done this several times so they understand exactly what's going on.
But they didn't do it with this team necessarily, like Kevin Byard.
You've been part of a 9-7 team that went to the conference championship game. You've been part of a 1 seed that lost in the first round. How do you process that whole dynamic of what this is?
Yeah, I mean, I actually haven't won a playoff game since then. You know what I mean? So I understand how special these opportunities are, and they don't come around that often. I know just even this 2019 team, like, they were saying even back then, like, we were too early, like, as far as, like, we had snuck into the playoffs and, oh, they're not going to do anything, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have all the pieces, and we went on the run, and obviously we're a game short, we're going to the Super Bowl. So I've been hearing the same noise about this team this year as well. So I just think for us all together, just understanding how special this group is and going out there and just playing for each other. You know what I mean? It's do or die at this point. So like I said, I'm just extremely excited, motivated. My energy level is high. It's going to be high for the rest of the week. Because like I said, I mean, I'm blessed to be able to be back in the playoffs with this group, with this this organization. So it's going to be fun.
Does playoff experience matter?
Yeah, I would say so. I think just for, like you said, the experience of, you know, especially when it comes to, like, you know, for me, being able to be a part of these games, I know, and just talking to the guys, like, I remember my first playoff game. It was my second year in the league in Kansas City, and I just remember going out there for pregame warm-up, and it was like the lights felt a little brighter. The sidelines were a lot more packed with media and all the different people out there. The intensity level just ramps up. You know what I mean? It's kind of just like going from preseason to regular season ball and regular season to postseason. You just feel rejuvenated. I feel rejuvenated, honestly. Like, I don't feel, at this point in my body, I don't feel no wear and tear from the regular season. Like, I feel like it's a new season, and that's how I'm approaching it. So I think guys just understanding that the intensity is going to wrap up. Just every little thing matters. Every play is going to matter. So, because you just never know what's going to be the play that's going to win us the game or not. So, like I said, I think experience definitely matters at all levels, right? If it's offense, defense, special teams, it does matter. But at the same time, it's just, I think when you have a couple leaders, a few leaders that obviously we got a lot of guys with some playoff experience, can kind of just give advice and tips and stuff like that from the other guys. And at that point, it's just going out there and playing football.
You know what that sounds like? A guy who's going to get his eighth interception.
I mean, it definitely sounds like a guy who feels like this moment has been well overdue. And now he's the guy that's like, I'm glad we're playing this on Saturday. I don't have to watch a bunch of football leading into Sunday. I can play my game as soon as possible. He's itching to get out there and do something.
He is. And he also just, it is a veteran mentality. When you hear him talk, don't you think that?
Yeah, absolutely. He understands, like, just the way he answered the question about playoff experience mattering. He's acknowledging, yes, it does. And he's explaining why. And you know who's got the advantage in playoff experience here? Packers over the Bears, yeah. That's concerning.
Right. And then on the flip side of it is, in the 8 total games that Matt LaFleur has coached, he's 3-5. But that means he's still won 3 times.
He's won on the road, too.
Yeah. It unfazed and had some real whoppers of wins as well. Cowboys game, I'm staring at you.
I knew that's the exact game you were referring
when you
to.
Can do, when you can score over 40 points
in
that
a playoff
easily
game.
On the road in a playoff game, I'm never, as long as your quarterback is the same dude, I'm not counting you out.
No, I think that's the smart play.
Because somebody like Bo Melton or whomever, Dontavian Wicks, you need a lot of people to score that many points. And that's the thing. That's what they do well. They also have a ton of different receivers. They will target 10 different people in a game. And you want to be able to do that because it also means you're running enough plays to be able to do so. Not that I'm still thinking about the first halves of games right now. Run more plays.
Well, the biggest thing for
plays need the run.
Is that Jordan Love also has playoff experience. Each of the past 2 seasons, he has been to the playoffs. He's 1-2 in those playoff games. And I think understanding that he understands what this moment is, and he's played on the road. And again, if you're talking about like road conditions where the Green Bay Packers are comfortable, Soldier Field, they're very comfortable because even though the landlord doesn't work for them anymore, they've all been subleasing from him, Aaron Rodgers, for the past however many years. However far you want to go back.
Stop it. You don't know if that guy's going to win a game and his head coach is going to get fired.
I know this. The Packers have lost each of the last 2 seasons to the eventual teams that made it to the Super Bowl. Think about that.
What a title.
So if you're the Bears, maybe this will get you to the Super Bowl if you can beat the Packers.
Fair enough. Yeah, because the last time it was the Eagles.
The year before that, it was the Niners.
The Eagles, who people are now automatically counting out for some reason.
I would not do that.
Unless you're Chris Sims. And I was actually surprised that he put the Eagles in the top 3. Because that Eagles and 49ers game is going to be incredibly compelling. Coming up next here on Raheem Harrison Grody, I didn't get to this story yesterday because we had such a ridiculous one yesterday that we had to do instead.
Was it ridiculous or was it just... People should know that this goes on before you get involved with a professional football player or an influencer. This is how things can end up. Public.
That's cautionary tale. Cautionary tale is the way to put it. When the headline says it's like something out of Ocean's 11, is it art imitating life or is it life imitating art?
Ocean's 14 is on the way, by the way. Just thought I should throw that in there.
I think it might have happened in Germany. I'll explain next.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's halftime.
That it is. I'm Raheemi Harrison Brody, and we spent our first part of the show listening to what they're talking about up in Green Bay. That team up north.
Team up north is out here trying to run things. And they feel like they are more confident than I thought they would be. But then I thought about it. I was like, yeah, I can see why they're as confident as they are.
I'm laughing a little bit because Marshall told, and it's true technically, that you told Jarrett Payton, who joined us at 10:45, that the team up north relative to his Miami team was Ole Miss. It just doesn't come to mind when I think of teams up north.
Yeah. When you go to school in Starkville, Mississippi, you don't refer to the University of Mississippi by what they want to be referred to. You call them what they are, which is the University of Mississippi or that school up north.
Fair enough. Lane Kiffin's many exes. And we also talked to Chris Sims, had a great conversation with him about what he expects to see out of the Bears' passing game, especially.
It's halftime.
We didn't get to this yesterday because of reasons that I care not to repeat. This is wild. So if I told you that thieves broke into a bank vault and stole $35 million worth of cash and valuables, busted up all the safes, took it all, you would assume in your head or like mentally you're probably thinking they busted through the front door of the safe somehow, right? That's like what movies teach us.
Yes.
So they're going in. They're finding some hinge. They're doing something along those lines. No. They went in through a parking garage.
How do you get to a safe, a vault, through a parking garage?
Ocean's 11. Robbers used a large drill to break into a German savings bank's vault room and stole cash, gold, and jewelry worth 30 million euros, which they say is 35 million. Depends on the day of the dollar and the euro, kids. So people had to have inside knowledge. And according to police, the robbers drilled their way into the underground vault room of the Sparkasse Savings Bank from a parking garage. So they had to know where it was relative to the parking garage and then be able to get in. The investigators say that the gang spent much of the weekend inside breaking open deposit boxes. They were just hanging out in the safe room. No cameras, no alarm, no nothing. Do you know what alarm ended up triggering after they were done?
I'm going to be so mad at this answer. I already know. Go ahead.
A fire alarm.
Yep.
This is Ocean's 11. Is it not?
It's also the plot to Fast Five. That's one of the Fast and Furious movies. They steal a vault from inside a police station.
How did they get the cars in there? That's the real question.
I think they hooked up to the back of the vault and they just dragged the vault with all the
money in it. Did they hook it up to their spoilers?
You know how it goes.
On the Honda Civic with the clear corner lights, and maybe you put a little extra exhaust on there. Not that I did that a time or two.
I think you would enjoy the Fast and the Furious movies.
I watched the first two of them. Somebody said I needed to watch Tokyo Drift. No.
I watched it. That was the last one. I watched Tokyo Drift and I never watched another one.
Tokyo Drift didn't have the main characters.
What Fast and Furious movie made you quit?
Hey, shout out to Bow Wow, though. I remember watching Bow Wow in that.
Yes, true.
So, witness, and here's the best part. It ends kind of like Ocean's 11. Witnesses reported seeing several men carrying large bags in the stairwell of the parking garage during the night from Saturday to Sunday. So they're just constantly loading these cars. And then they drove off in an Audi. The car's license plate had been stolen earlier in the city of Hanover. And a police spokesman told the press that the break-in was indeed very professionally executed, likening it to Ocean's 11.
Mm. Not to be confused with Ocean's 12 or 13, or even Ocean's 8.
There's another one coming out?
Ocean's 14.
I thought that jumped the shark when they got an actor to play themselves as an actor.
Now, of that franchise, personally, I think I only saw Ocean's 11, and I saw it in the theater, and it was the only movie I've ever watched in the front row because it was packed out, and I got there like right at the start of the movie. That's like the worst thing you could do. My neck had some problems after that.
Dude, and I think I also watched it in the movie theater, and it's funny and like reverent, and the first one is great. But then when you already show signs of jumping the shark in the next movie, I'm kind of out.
Is that how you felt about it?
Yes. Huh.
Just to let you know, Ocean's 14 is finally happening and already confirmed in the casting. George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, Julia Roberts. Of course, there will be no Bernie Mac, RIP. But yeah, sounds like a blockbuster to me.
Also, for the record, they haven't caught anybody in this because they drove off all chill-like in this car.
This kind of reminds me of the Louvre, right? Where the Louvre just didn't have proper security.
Yeah, and then but they ended up finding some dudes at the Louvre.
Okay.
They have not found anybody yet for this.
How long ago was this?
This was last week.
Okay. It's probably take a month or so.
And the quote is also, a great deal of prior knowledge and or a great deal of criminal energy must have been involved to plan and carry this out.
Oh, criminal energy. I like that.
I know. It's always fun to see how languages translate into English because they're usually more descriptive than ours, let's be honest. So I found that pretty funny. But yeah, this is real life Ocean's 11, isn't it? But then did they get the idea from Ocean's 11? And see what happens when you organize as a team. You can accomplish things.
Did you see Den of Thieves?
I did not.
So you probably haven't seen Den of Thieves 2.
I definitely have not.
Okay. It's got Gerard Butler, O'Shea Jackson Jr. It's quality. I think you would enjoy that one too.
I love a good heist and I love a good drug bust.
Yes, the heist part, yes. The drug bust, not so much. But yes, I think you would be on board.
Yeah, and this is a good point by 630. It's as if their vault was protected by a screen door. Yeah, what the hell's going on here? Why did the fire alarm go off before the burglary alarms did? Or did they disable those too?
I love the text
line. Did they have a guy for that?
Oh, man, the text line's really killing it today. Movie, The Italian Job. That's from 847.
Oh, I've been meaning to watch that movie.
You've never seen it?
I might have seen it a million years ago, but I forgot.
Oh, okay. Tokyo Drift is a guilty pleasure movie for me. It's bad, but I can't help it. That's from 224.
I think I need to watch it again.
That's the most honest assessment. Like, if you're just watching everything because it's visually entertaining, then I get it.
But also, 574, great question here. Would people like Tokyo Drift if it wasn't a Fast and Furious movie? Like, if you take away the label.
Probably, I don't know. Probably not. Probably okay. Not. The Fast and Furious branding is probably what, you know, and the stars in the movie, of course, and Bow Wow really gave it some life. But I think the lesson here is, for me personally, I think I need to see like a crossover movie, a Fast and Furious and Oceans crossover.
The crews get together.
That's the next step. Do you know what movie I've been thinking about a lot and I can't tell you why? Romeo Must Die.
Oh, wow.
With my girl?
Yes, with your girl Aaliyah.
I love that movie.
I think that movie is before its time, and I can't exactly tell you why.
It is very dystopian.
But if you know why, you know.
Futuristic, if I remember correctly, right?
Jet Li, Aaliyah. Who else is in that?
DMX.
Oh, that's right. R.I.P.
That's
a lot of R.I.P. we're doing with
Romeo Must Die. For whatever reason, I feel like even though it was an adaptation of Romeo and Juliet, I feel like it was still before its time. And I can't, I have no backing as to why I feel this way.
I think you're right about that.
Romeo Must Die was a great movie.
It's been on my mind and I don't know why. And I could just, I don't know, watch the movie. But what's the fun in that? Why not let it occupy brain space for no reason?
Mm.
Do you have one of those movies that like occupies your head for a bit and you can't quite figure out why? It's just there. Just me, huh?
Not that I can't figure out why because it's a classic movie, but I think Pulp Fiction for me, there's a lot of things that'll, Pulp Fiction will pop into my head.
Today 47 says Tokyo Drift is our generation's Rocky Five.
Oh no. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. That's disrespectful. Tokyo Drift is better than Rocky Five.
Oh, 224 says Christopher Nolan, the director, is a huge Fast and the Furious fan. I mean, you just learn a lot about people by seeing where they are on the Fast and the Furious.
I would love to see Christopher Nolan directing the next Fast and Furious movie. Can you imagine in IMAX?
No, I can't because I don't watch them.
Oh, well.
I'm too busy thinking about a movie that came out 26 years ago.
My movie like that is probably Major Pain. I love it. Major Pain stops me dead in my tracks.
Or Don't Be a Menace. That popped up in my head recently as well. That one I do think I need to watch again.
Message.
I just love the part where he's reading his stepdad the bedtime story. Okay, I got to stop.
CB4.
I'm making myself. Oh, CB4 I need to watch again. 100%. All right, I got something to do. As if I don't have other things to do. Maybe they'll just hang out in my head for a while and waste all my space. I only have a certain amount of RAM. In fact, it is shutting down now because 5 on it is next.